In Scripture, salvation is by grace, judgment is by merit. And in solemn truth, Jew or Gentile, it matters not what your background is. Verse 10, all the lost will be judged according to their deeds. Glory and honor and peace to every man who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And verse 9, there will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. If you turn away from the only way of salvation and you come before God on your own, you will come with your deeds. You will not come with what your intentions were. Well, I always meant to. No, you'll come with your deeds. And it's a sobering thing.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today, we continue in our study of the book of Romans. Pastor Scott brings part 5 of the message titled, Principles of Judgment. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
Principles of Judgment, chapter 2 of Romans, gives 7 great principles of judgment. You see, God hasn't left us wondering what He's like or what He's looking for. He has spelled it out for us. And whether we're interested or not, we ought to be. God has told us how He will judge. And so we should pay very close attention to what He has to say in Romans chapter 2. He's told us what He's like, how He will judge, what He's looking for. We were at the beach last summer and at a carnival kind of a out there on the beach approach, and there was just about a booth for just about everything, you know, sausage, German sausage, and ice cream, and kites, and all the riffraff and trinkets that go with kind of a carnival atmosphere. There was this one booth that the only thing it said on it was, are you going to heaven? Are you going to heaven? A couple of guys standing there in the booth, and you could go over there and take a 2-question test to find out if you're going to heaven. And I noticed that in the sweep of things, as people came out to the beach and went through the carnival, the sausage booth got a little more attention, and the ice cream booth, and the kites. And there were a few that went over there to take that test, but I'll tell you something, that is an easy question to neglect or assume you know the answer to. And I say there are millions today who assume they're going to heaven, who aren't, who have faulty assumptions regarding the most important issue of life. And it would be arrogance for any of us here to say, well, we've got that nailed, don't worry about that, don't even think about it. Oh, no. Let the Scripture be your guide. Let the Scripture search your heart. And I would say that every false hope of heaven involves, every false hope of heaven involves either neglect or denial of one of the 7 principles in this chapter. Understanding the principles of God's judgment. So let's just read it. He says, therefore, you are without excuse, every man of you who passes judgment. For in that you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God is according to truth upon those who practice such things. And do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment upon those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. The judgment of God will be according to truth, verse 2. It will be righteous, verse 5. And it is inevitable, verses 3 through 5. You cannot escape the judgment of God. Don't dream that you'll somehow avoid judgment. that you can escape it. Now, we've looked at those three principles. Let's look at the fourth. Verses 6 through 11, the judgment of God will be according to reality, deeds, not mere profession. Who will render to every man according to his deeds, to those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation, there will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to every man who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. Judgment, God's judgment, will be according to reality, deeds, not mere talk or profession. Now, mark it. Don't misunderstand this. And I want you to listen carefully, because when I tell people to read Romans, I find that chapter 2 is one of those snags, you might say. The first read through Romans, the second read through Romans. You might read Romans several times and come back, and usually the questions I find people asking with the most concern come from chapter 2, chapter 9, chapter 11. So don't misunderstand this chapter, and listen carefully to what it's saying and what I'm saying. In Scripture, salvation is always by grace, unmerited favor. That's what grace means. Undeserved, unmerited favor. In Scripture, salvation is always by grace. In Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, judgment is always by deeds, merit. When God saves, He does and gives something we don't deserve. When God judges, He gives exactly what we deserve. Now, you find this all the way through Scripture. In Jeremiah, the Lord says this, chapter 17, verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the result of his deeds. When Jeremiah prayed in chapter 32, he said, Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by Thy great power and Thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for Thee. O great and mighty God, the Lord of hosts is His name, great in counsel and mighty in deed, whose eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men. The One who created us, the great and mighty One, His eyes are open to all the ways of men, giving to everyone according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. God hasn't changed since Jeremiah's day. Solomon, the man that God gifted with so much wisdom, wrote this in Proverbs 24, verse 12. If you say, see, we did not know this, does he not consider it who weighs the hearts? Does he not know it, who keeps your soul? And will he not render to man according to his work? Oh, yes, he will. He will. The 62nd Psalm exudes the holiness of God. And it closes with this line, the last line of the 62nd Psalm. Thou dost recompense a man according to his work. God's judgment will be according to merit, according to deeds. And Paul underlines it here in these verses. The Lord Jesus Christ, in fact, He specifically applied that last line of the 62nd Psalm. In Matthew 16, here's what he said. For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he will render to every man according to his deeds. He quoted the last line of the 62nd Psalm. And perhaps the most sobering of all as you sweep through the scripture is to come to Revelation chapter 20, where he says this as he pictures the great white throne of judgment. And John writes, I saw the dead, the great and the small. You see, when men come before God, there won't be the great and the small, so to speak. I mean, we have our great men today that can get away with just about anything, and we have our small guys that'll get nabbed for just about anything and anything in between. And we see nothing but inequity and injustice in this world oftentimes. But when men come before God, the great will be there, and so will the small and everyone in between. I saw the dead, John writes, the great and the small standing before the throne. And the books were opened. Think of it. The books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And he says, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he'll be cast into the lake of fire. There is the book of life that has the names recorded of those saved. And then there are the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. And the books were opened. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books. God has record of everything. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds, we read. I repeat it, judgment is always according to deeds. Now look at our text. And what's in view here is life choice. Life choice. You have those who do good, verse 7 and verse 10. And you have those, verse 9, who do evil. You have those who seek the things above, verse 7. And you have those who are selfishly ambitious, verse 8, seeking their own will. That word is, by the way, just characteristic, that word translated selfishly ambitious, of the natural man. What we were by nature, if you're here without Christ, what your bottom line is that you seek for yourself. That's what we all were, apart from God's grace. There are those who seek the things above and those who seek their own way, do their own thing, want what they want, selfishly ambitious. In other words, there's the saved and the lost. There's the righteous and the unrighteous. There's those who obey the truth, and look at verse 8, those who obey unrighteousness. He's going to render to every man according to his deeds, he says. And then he describes the two great categories of mankind. Now, there's two mistakes that are often made right here in verses 6 through 11. The first one is to assume that Paul is teaching justification by deeds or works. Many people read this, and admittedly, if you just read it out of context and read it without connection to the rest of Romans and forget that God is not speaking here about salvation or justification, he's speaking of judgment, God's principles of judgment, why there are those who will think then that Paul is teaching salvation by works. Paul isn't talking about salvation here at all. Look over chapter 3, verse 20. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. Verse 27, where then is boasting? It's excluded by what kind of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or in Ephesians, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not as a result of works. Or as Paul wrote to Timothy in chapter 1, verse 9 of his last epistle, he said, who saved us and called us, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. Or you look across the page at chapter 4, verse 4. Now to the one who works, his wage isn't reckoned as a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith will be reckoned as righteousness. I could multiply the passages the New Testament is full of, and Romans is littered with, texts that clearly teach that justification is not by works. If it's by grace, chapter 11, verse 6 says, is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. If we could work or merit salvation, we wouldn't be saved by grace, would we? If it's by works, grace is no longer grace. But he says it is no longer. No, it's by grace and grace alone that God saves. So don't start to think that Paul is speaking of salvation here. He's not. He's talking about judgment. He's talking about judgment. And judgment will be according to merit. Second common mistake is to assume, and you look at verse, I would say 7, speaking of doing good. Verse 10, does good, the man who does good. Many just interpret that to do good is to believe in Christ. And to do that is to misunderstand what he's saying here. And it's to read chapter 3, 4, and 5 back into chapter 2. He's not talking about believing in Christ here. He's not speaking of how one is saved. He's describing men who are saved and lost. He's describing two great categories. And so he gives a description of those who have eternal life in verse 7, not how to obtain it. And in verse 8, he gives a description, a corresponding and contrasting description of those who do not have eternal life, who are selfishly ambitious, who are self-willed, who are still unregenerate. They are natural and earthly, as he says over in James. So I repeat it. Underline it in your mind. In Scripture, salvation is by grace. Judgment is by merit. And in solemn truth, Jew or Gentile, it matters not what your background is. Verse 10, all the lost will be judged according to their deeds. Glory and honor and peace to every man who does good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And verse 9, there will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. Now, a man will be judged according to his deeds, not his profession, not his intentions. If you spurn Christ, the only Savior, the one who died for you and rose again on your behalf, if you turn away from the only way of salvation and you come before God on your own, you will come with your deeds. You will not come with what your intentions were. Well, I always meant to. No, you'll come with your deeds. And it's a sobering thing. Jew, Gentile. Why? Because verse 11, there's no partiality with God. Then the fifth principle of judgment. Judgment will be according to the light a man has, not according to what he doesn't have. Verses 12 through 15. For all who've sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And all who've sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when the Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these, not having the law, are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. No man will be held to a higher standard than he ought to be. He will be held according to the light that he has, not according to the light that he doesn't have. And there's a principle of Scripture. You see it throughout. You see in Paul's day, a self-willed, belligerent Israelite who spurned his Savior would be held to a stricter standard than a Gentile. Amos chapter 3 says it this way, speaking to Israel, you only have me among all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. The principle is this, more light, more responsibility. More light, more judgment. a self-willed American today. With all the gospel light that we have, every motel room, there's a Bible. Churches proclaiming the gospel all over. Watch out when you're going down the radio dial. You might hear some truth. So turn quickly back to the entertainment that just kind of keeps you happy. With all the light in America, a self-willed American who belligerently and stubbornly refuses God's grace will be held to a stricter standard than one who lives in a land where he hears very little of the gospel. The Lord Jesus on more than one occasion spoke of this very thing. Listen to him in Luke 10, stating this very principle. "Whatever city you enter," he said, "and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your city, which clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I say to you, it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city.'" Just think of what it is to turn down the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. "Woe to you, Chorazin," Jesus went on. "Woe to you, Bethsaida," speaking of cities right there, towns that the gospel had been preached in, that he'd been to. "For if the miracles had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will be brought down to Hades. The one who listens to you listens to me. And the one who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me." No, a man will be held to the light that he has. Now again, look at verse 12 and following. We're not talking about salvation here, are we? We're talking about judgment and perishing. And read there for the word law. Just read Bible, because we're talking about knowledge of God's word, the scripture. Okay? "All who've sinned without the Bible will also perish without the Bible. And all who've sinned under the law, under the Bible, will be judged by the word of God." We're speaking of judgment and perishing. And we're speaking to the privilege that man has, the privileged ones. It's not the point that someone knows the facts or knows the scripture. No, it's responding to the scripture. Just knowledge of God's word, just knowledge of the bare facts, it only further condemns. It only heightens our responsibility to respond. Am I speaking to you? You've been raised in the church. You know these things. You could rattle them off. But you've never responded. You've never humbled yourself. Oh, God will hold those who know more, more accountable.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled Principles of Judgment, a message from our series in the book of Romans. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. We're thrilled to announce the publication of a new book written by Pastor Scott Gilchrist. It's called A Brief Exposition of Romans. It's a 266-page chapter-by-chapter commentary on Romans that we're sure will enhance your understanding of this critical book in the New Testament. The book is available online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and most other online booksellers. But during our study of Romans, we'd like to send you a copy as a thank you for a gift of any amount to the ministry of Downtown Bible. You can find us online at downtownbible.org or by mail at P.O. Box 19191, Portland, Oregon, 97280. We'd love to put this valuable resource in your hands. Downtown Bible only remains on the air through the generous contributions of listeners like you. We'd like to ask you to prayerfully consider partnering with us on a regular basis to help us meet our day-to-day expenses. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
Every man has a conscience, and we are not ignorant of God's ways. It's a natural part of every man. We're created in the image of God, and we know better when we sin. Now, the New Testament speaks of a seared conscience, a weak conscience, a defiled conscience, a good conscience, a blameless conscience. You can do quite a few things with your conscience. It is not a sure guide, because we can sear it as with a branding iron. 1 Timothy 4 speaks of conscience and seared as with a branding iron. But it never fully stops operating. Look at verse 15. Alternately accusing or else defending. I don't care how low a man falls, his conscience still semi-works.
Join us again next time as we continue our series through the book of Romans. Pastor Scott brings the sixth and final part of the message titled, Principles of Judgment. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.